Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. I love this time of the year and this season where we get to think a lot about just the last year and about the people that we love. And I know that it's hard for some as we've lost loved ones, but there's a season right now that we get to contemplate a lot. And in that season, one of the things that I think is beneficial for us, we did this a couple weeks ago when we had Lamar and Rob here to talk about just orphans and vulnerable children and things like that, and how to be involved in that is just to remind ourselves in these seasons, what is God's heart? What does God care about? Because what God cares about should be the things that we care about. And so today is another one of those special Sundays. That this is Lottie Moon Sunday. And for some of you, then you know exactly what that means, that there was about 4'11" little lady that was an absolute giant in the faith and was a huge part of the missions movement out of America, even in taking the gospel to China. And so she gave her life on the mission field. Your children have been learning about this in the kids area and watched a video about this. But Lottie Moon really captured the heart of God's heart. And she wrote a letter, and there's a reason we do it around Christmas time, that she wrote a letter when she was on the mission field, and she said she was challenging the church back in America. And she said, as you buy gifts and think about buying gifts for people there and your loved ones, would you think about giving the greatest gift to those who have never heard the name of Jesus? Would you think about giving in order that missionaries could go to the mission field to take the gospel to the ends of the earth? That they might know the true meaning of Christmas, that Christ has come, Emmanuel, God with us. Would you give for that? And so Lottie Moon is an opportunity for us to examine the scriptures. And what I'd like to do this morning is, it's really kind of just a walk through all of the scriptures. What it started out was, I was like, well, we're in the Psalms. Let me look and just do a word study on the word nations throughout the Psalms. And let's just look at what is God's heart for the nations throughout the Psalms. And then what that led to was ultimately chasing a whole bunch of rabbits through the whole scripture. So I hope you get comfortable and settle in and you didn't drink too much coffee. But I'm super excited about this. And I think the struggle as I was studying this was that it kept getting bigger and bigger. And so the struggle was to simplify. And so let me just give you this up front in a way of simplifying, that the main point of this is that we see that God blesses his people so that the nations would praise him. That's the main point of what we're going to see, is that God blesses his people so that, purpose clause, the nations would praise him. That he is worthy of their worship, and the nations being all people groups. As you look at nations throughout Psalms, and we'll just start there, let's start in Psalm 2. If you want to look at that real quick, then this is the first mention of nations in Psalms. And it says this: why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? Why do the nations, why do the people groups, why do they rage and the people plot in vain? And then Psalm 2 continues as it just tells us that the king of the earth, that they have set themselves against him. That the nations rage because they're in rebellion to God. They're in rebellion to his anointed king, and ultimately they're in rebellion to Christ. So the nations have set themselves against the king. They say in verse 3, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. That they have set themselves, like we saw a couple weeks ago, in rebellion, as David would say, that their transgressions are opposed to him. Well, that fits in the story of the scripture that God created Adam and Eve and he put them in a garden. And even there, he said, my purpose for you is that you would be blessed and raise up little worshipers, that you would multiply and raise up worshipers to praise me, to sing my praise. Well, Adam and Eve, they rebelled against that. They went against God's plan. And so we see just from the beginning that how do we move from this place of rejection of God's king to what we see a little bit later in Psalm chapter 2, verse 8? It says this, it's transitioned our dialogue that now this is between the anointed and God the Father. He says, I will tell of the decree, verse 7. The Lord said to me, you are my son, today I've begotten you. And then here's what the Lord says. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. That we move from this rebellion to the nations being a heritage. The nations being his inheritance. How do we get from this place to this place? Well, there's two paths, and that's what we see in the scripture. One of them, verse 9 tells us, you shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. That's not the option that I would choose or that I want my children to choose or that I want anyone to choose, is that there's a picture in the scripture that God rules and reigns, and he is the authoritative supreme king. He will be worshiped. Later in scripture, it tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, that the end is certain. And yet, we see in verse 12 of chapter 2, he says, kiss the king, kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. But then look at this. But blessed are all those who take refuge in him. It tells us that there's a different path, that you don't have to sit in rebellion to him, that there's a different path, that you can seek him and take refuge in him, and that in doing so, you will be blessed. So how do we get from the nations raging to all will bow and sing his praise? There's two paths. One is that we will be made to bow. One is we can surrender and bow. The path of surrender is a path of blessing. So as we see that progression just in Psalm 2, we see these two paths, but I want to jump forward to Psalm 67. And this is where I'd like to spend the majority of our time. In Psalm 67, I think it articulates that path of surrender and that path of blessing. So Psalm 67, what we see, let me just begin by reading the first part. He says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Psalm 67 is actually a prayer. So the verbs and the way that all of this works together is these are petitions. This is a prayer. This is asking. And so what Psalm 67, it would have been a prayer of the people that they would have prayed this. Now, it's interesting because Psalm 67 is actually a quote of Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, Aaron was the high priest, and Aaron was told by God to bless the people of Israel, that he was to bless them, God's people. Now, how did they become God's people? We need a little bit more Bible knowledge, so don't get lost on me. Genesis chapter 12, God calls a man named Abraham, and he says, hey, I'm gonna make you a blessing to the nations. He actually says, I'm gonna give you a people. I'm gonna multiply you, just like he said for Adam and Eve to multiply. But he told Abraham, I want you to multiply. I'm gonna multiply you into a great nation, as many as the stars and the sand. And then I'm gonna give you a land. I'm gonna put you in a place. And then lastly, he said, and I'm gonna make you a blessing. So through you, you will be a blessing to the nations, all those outside. And so that was the plan. And then God's people, we see that it goes up and down and up and down and up and down all throughout. But this priest is told to bless the people of Israel. And look at what he's told to bless them with. He said, may God be gracious to us. That it would be God's grace, that there's nothing deserved or earned. It's all God's grace. Now that's the story of the scripture, is that all that we have earned is actually God's judgment and his penalty because we have rebelled against him. We have gone outside of his plans. Each of us has chosen our own way. And so there's a cry that God would be gracious, that Abraham was to see God's grace upon his life. The second thing is that He would bless us. Now, this term blessed and blessing is another term that throughout the scripture is really interesting to look at. When we talk about blessing, there's two things that I think are helpful for us. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." The same people that would be blessed by taking refuge in him will be blessed by having him as their God. And then we cry out for his blessing upon us. Now, let me just help us in thinking through blessing, that there's two aspects of blessing that Psalm 67 is actually going to talk about, that blessing comes from being in right relationship with the Lord. So first, there's relational blessing. Blessing comes from being made right with God. How does that happen? How do we be made right with God? A supreme ruler, a judge who's holy? How do sinners come into his blessing? Well, it's through Jesus. It's because of his grace that God would send a way for us to be made right. It's all by grace that he would bless us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything, but it was for his great name that he would bless us. But then there's another aspect of blessing. There's material blessing that we see. And we're going to see this a little bit later in the psalm, that God also not just blesses relationally, but he blesses materially as we're in right relationship with him. And so we'll see that in just a minute. But the third thing, going back to verse 1, that God would be gracious to us, that he would bless us. And then the third thing is that he would make his face to shine upon us. Now, this harkens back to another Old Testament reference that when God's prophet went up on the mountain to be face to face with God, to interact with God, he came back and it says his face shone. His face was like a light. It shined. That when God shines upon us, it's publicly displayed that we have been with the Lord. Now catch this. This is another way that when God blesses us, it's in order that we might be a blessing to the nations. That as God blesses us and we sit face to face, there's something about us that our culture recognizes. There's something about us that our family recognizes. There's something about us that the nations recognize and go, who has a God like them? Maybe we can just help illustrate this. I was just talking to some people in between services, and you know, there's a reality that as God interacted with the people of Israel, he blessed them in such a way and he interacted with them in such a way that it would almost leave us, like, I don't know if you've ever had a friend like this, that maybe their parents just like lavished good gifts upon them. And you're like, man, I want a dad like that. Like, I want a mom and dad like that. Because of the way that they interacted with them, because of their kindness and because of their grace and because of their generosity and because of their protection and because of their interaction, you said, I want a parent like that. You see, that's exactly what God does with his people. With Israel, he nestled them, and Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you and shine upon you in such a way that the nations go, I want a God like that who fights for me. I want a God who blesses me. I want a God who cares about me and knows my name. I want a God who loves me. I want a God who sacrificed to make a way for me. I want a God like that. When we live that out, the world watches as his face shines upon us. But the most important thing in this Psalm 67 may be this next word. It's the purpose clause. Look at it with me, verse 2. We ask God to bless us so that. That's what comes next, is that. The purpose of God's blessing upon us is so that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. That the purpose of God's blessing is that all peoples would sing his praise. There's a truth that we have to believe here. That Jesus is worthy every praise. He's worthy of the worship of every person. That he's worthy of the worship of all peoples in all places, in all times. That Jesus alone is worthy. The reason we do missions is not because there's lost people that are dying and going to hell. It's that there's people that don't know Jesus is worthy of their worship. Think about this. There's people that are giving the worship that is worthy of Jesus and Jesus alone to carved images. There's people that are giving their worship of what's deserving of Jesus alone to that which is created by their own hands, that which cannot hear or see or respond. And Jesus is worthy of that worship. The reason that God blesses us is so that the nations would praise him. But let's talk about these blessings. These blessings that we see in verse 4 and 5 are the relational blessings. Look at it. It says, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and you guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." There's a few characteristics we find out about who God is, and we see here that he's the judge. That he is the rightful judge, and he judges with equity, with justice and honor, with fairness, he will judge. Now, that's a scary thing. I think a lot of times then we use the term of like, that's not fair, right? It's become very popular in our culture. Well, that's not fair. I hear it in my home a lot. And what do we normally say? Life's not fair. And if we said to God, that's not fair, the response that would be very troublesome for us is, do you want me to give you what's fair? No. I want you to be gracious to me. I want you to be merciful to me. That in your son Jesus, you crushed him for my sin. That you poured out your wrath and your penalty on sin in order that you could be just and look at me in righteousness and holiness. That it's because of Jesus that we're made right and all peoples should praise him. It's that relational aspect that we recognize the blessing of God. But what do you do with that? What do you do with that knowledge, with that reality that you have been blessed? Well, let me again maybe help us understand that. I know whenever I was about 13, 14, 15, I was pretty young in my grade, and so there were some other kids that drove. My brother was actually 2 years older than me, and so my brother got a car. Listen, the blessing for him was a blessing to me. My kid, 13, he's already talking about like, Dad, when this friend gets a car, it's gonna be awesome. Because the blessing to them was a blessing to him. It wasn't just for us. You see, God blesses his people so that the nations might sing his praise. When God blesses you relationally, that you know how to be made right with a holy God who is a judge, who will judge justly, and that all those who seek refuge in Jesus Christ will be saved, and you keep that blessing for yourself. You see, that's being a mismanager of what God has blessed us with. But let's look at this second part. It's not just relational blessing. It's also material blessing. Now, again, we have to look at this in light of the whole of Scripture that God blesses his people materially. Now, people have taken this out to extremes into a health and wealth and prosperity gospel. That's not what we see here. But we do see a truth that God blesses his people materially. Look at it with me, verse 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let the ends of the earth fear him. That what we see here in this yielding its increase is that God gives the fruit of the land. Israel would have recognized that any harvest they had was a blessing from God. That it was God who blessed them, not their own farming ingenuity that caused a great harvest, but it was the Lord's favor upon them to bless them. Now, what does that look like for our day? I think we may have one or two farmers. But what does that look like for us? What that means is that your job, your influence, your income, your status is not achieved by you and your ingenuity. That comes from the Lord. Now, this is dangerous. To begin to think like this is dangerous, because if you did it, then you earned it and you deserve it. It's mine. I'm the owner. But if I didn't do anything to earn it and it's just been given to me, and God blessed me with it, and he gave me that blessing in order that I might use it for his purposes. Oh, wait a minute. Now I can't do with it whatever I want. It's his. I become a manager. Maybe I can explain it this way. I used to take a bunch of kids to youth camp. Thankfully now Patrick does that. But in our travel, then I would tell parents and I would tell the kids that you will need money for one meal on the way home. Now, some parents were pretty smart and they would put it in a Ziploc bag and they would say, do not touch until the bus ride home. Some parents would give their child, and maybe it was an older child with some siblings, would give them a lot of money, maybe a big bill, and say, now you need to use this to pay for their food on the way home. You guys know where I'm going. Some of those kids would get to camp and they'd be like, ooh, there's bright, shiny things. Of course I need a new shirt. I have to have a new shirt. I need some Frisbee, or I need whatever drinks and candy bars. I need those things. You see, the blessing that the parents had given them that was supposed to be stewarded for their younger siblings, they then took ownership of to use for themselves. So we get to the bus ride home. Guaranteed, every trip, it was going to happen. Jared, what's up? I don't have any more money. See, you stewarded your money in an improper way. You viewed it as an owner rather than a steward. And the Lord blesses his people so that purpose, the nations might sing his praise. You see, there's a danger that's wrapped up in Psalm 67, and that danger is that we would view ourselves as owners rather than stewards. If you struggle with this idea of that, well, I truly believe I am the owner. I worked hard. I went to school. I grinded to get this job. I grinded to get to this status. I did it. Let me maybe just ask a couple questions. Who gave you the breath in your lungs? Who gave you the mind to think? Who gave you the opportunities and the influences and those chance circumstances that turned out for your blessing? You see, the Lord is at work, but we need to recognize that it's a gift from him and steward his blessing well. I want to jump forward into the New Testament, because this is, how does one get from the nations raging and in opposition to those that would sing his praises? Well, he's going to do that primarily through his people. OK, Catch this. This is the story of how God has worked from the very beginning, that he is going to bless his people in order that they can be a blessing to others. Look just with me at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It's going to be on the screen. This is Peter talking to God's chosen people, that this is the dispersion. These are people that have been scattered among the nations. These are followers of Jesus that, because of persecution, they've now scattered all over the place. And what is God going to do in the midst of this? He sends this encouragement to them through Peter. And he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that God has brought you in and made you his own, and he's blessed you relationally, and he's made you his people, and he's made you priests as mediators to take this good news, that he's made you this people so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So that what God has done in you, you can proclaim to everyone else who needs to hear it. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy, how are you going to steward that blessing? You know what happens to a sink drain that's supposed to be a flow of water? When it gets stopped up, it sours. It sours. When the flow of God's blessing stops moving in the way that God wants it to move, the blessing will stop. Look again with me. I want to read another passage out of This comes out of Galatians. It's going to be on the screen. It's Galatians 3. Speaking of how has God done this from the very beginning, that God blesses his people in order that they might be a blessing to others, in order that the nations might sing his praise. Galatians 3, verse 8. It says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. The scriptures, the whole storyline of your Bible, knowing what was coming, that God would rescue the nations by faith, that they would be brought in through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at what he says. The scriptures preach the gospel. The scriptures proclaim the good news that through Jesus, one could be reconciled to God beforehand to Abraham. How did Abraham preach the gospel? In you shall all the nations be blessed. That God would make you a blessing in order that you could proclaim that blessing to those who have not heard it. In order that you would steward the relational blessing and the material blessing in order that the nations might sing his praise. The last place I want to go, just so that we see that this is the whole storyline of the scriptures, is to Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, we get an image from John, that John gets this picture into heaven. And he's told to write down what he sees. And so he writes down that he gets this image of the tribes of Israel. He gets the image of Abraham's descendants, that God would bless in order that the nations might be blessed through them. And then look at this. After he sees Israel, then verse 9 says this, and after this I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude that no one could number, that he looks out and there's just a sea of people from every nation and from every tribe and from every people group and from every language. That there's people from all the nations gathered in heaven. And they're standing before this throne and before the Lamb who's on the throne. And all these nations are clothed in white robes, and they've got these palm branches resembling peace. And they're crying out with a loud voice. Listen to what they say. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That the nations will be gathered in because they'll see the blessing that God has poured out on his people as they steward that blessing, both relationally and material, in order that the nations might hear. But there's a danger in this. The danger is that we would view what God has given us as a blessing as our own. God didn't save you for you. He saved you that he might save the world through you. That you might be a blessing to the family member that you're going to see relationally and materially. That you might be a blessing to the neighbors that you live around, both relationally and materially. That you might be a blessing to our community at large, not just for Norris Ferry's sake. Listen, if we steward what God has blessed us with as a church, if we steward that as owners rather than as stewards for God's purpose, I'll just tell you, the scripture tells us that blessing will dry up and God will find someone who will steward it well. There's a great danger in this, but there's a great reward. Think of this. If you steward what God has blessed you with relationally and materially, when we gather that great throne room, and you go, I got to be a part of that. Maybe that the Lord would just graciously call someone out of this church to go to the nations. That there are nations which still have not heard the name of Jesus. They don't know this blessing. Maybe God would use some of you materially, that he's blessed you. And you can be a blessing to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, just like Lottie Moon prayed for. Lord, bless us. Be gracious to us. And make your face shine upon us so that the nations might sing your praise. Let's pray. Lord, would you, through your Spirit, inspire us? Lord, that you might stir in our heart a desire to be cheerful givers, to sacrifice and to lay down our life just like Christ did for the sake of others, in order that some might be saved, in order that some might have the opportunity to hear that you are worthy of their worship, in order that some might be able to see the way that you bless your children and say, I want to be in that family. I want a God like that. Lord, would you use us? Would you use us as a church, Lord, to be an instrument of your blessing to the nations? Lord, would you use us individually? Bless us in order that we might bless others. Lord, help us to fight against greed. Help us to fight against the idea that we are owners rather than stewards.